Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Y'all missed a great party last night. There was a wonderful party that I went to. And guess where it was? Right here. Because we began the celebration of the birth of the Theotokos. And so it was a big birthday party. And the saints were gathered, and the angels in the heavens were with us for this great celebration. And we continued that celebration today. And it is quite remarkable. All the time, the more I listen, the harder I try to get some of this stuff, the more remarkable I find it. And so we heard some things like, "Let heaven greatly rejoice, let earth make merry, for now the heaven of our God is born upon earth, as the pure bride of God doth come forth from a promise. The barren one suckleth Marian as a babe, and Joachim doth rejoice at her birth, and saith, Unto me hath been born the rod whence Christ the flower shall come, who springs forth from David's root. Strange in truth is this miracle." So there were about four of us here last night to usher in this marvelous miracle. This morning, as you came for the celebration, I was willing to bet last night that less than 5% of us knew that today not only was Sunday, but was also a great feast, one of the 12 great feasts of the church. Now, being honest, how many of you, when you woke up this morning, said to yourself, "Ah, how wonderful that now I don't have to feel bad about missing the midweek celebration because it falls on Sunday"? Anybody? How many of you thought, "How wonderful that without even exerting myself doubly, I get a double blessing, maybe a triple blessing by coming here"? Sachtein, we could say, triple blessing. Okay? How many of you thought that when you woke up this morning? I was about right. Is that remarkable or what? Is that amazing or what? And it comes also at a time when not only do I have the blue on because it is a feast of the Theotokos, not only is it also a day of resurrection because we sang those hymns also, but it is also today the Sunday of the Sunday before the elevation of the cross. So we were triply blessed. Sunday, a great feast, one of the 12, and one of preparation for another great feast of the 12. Oh, how good God is to us that He gives us these things. And yet, there's a problem. There's a disconnect. There's some lack of communication somewhere, because my guess is that if virtually none of us realized that as we came to church this morning, there seems to be something out of whack. And I think that if we come on Friday evening for that feast of the elevation of the cross, we get a little hint. And it's a hint that is much wider and broader than it sounds, because we will hear the Apostle Paul in that evening's liturgy and celebration. We will hear him begin by saying, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Now that's interesting, because it sounds like it's only about the cross. And a lot of us might shudder a little bit at that thought, because truly, when we think about those Romans, those people who were masters of keeping people in order, and the way they did it was in a very methodical fashion, which ended in the life of our Lord and Savior on a cross, but also would have had many, many others of his generation with him on the same kind of cross, that they were so good at letting people see what happened if you violated the power, violated the authority of the Roman Empire. And so Christ comes to hang on that cross, and we come to surround that cross with flowers, to process it through the church, to lay it on a table and bow down before it and kiss it. So the question might be asked when we hear that first verse, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I might say, I wonder how certain I can be about which group I find myself in. Now we know because we have the label, because we came or were brought to the church, that we are Christians because some things have happened to us, because we were made Christians in the fashion that all Christians were ever made, by baptism. By baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That it can certainly be said that we are Christians. But then when we hear this message, one might wonder, are there other things of the message that don't quite get across to us? So we could say the message of the cross, but we might also say the message of the Theotokos, the virgin birth. We could also say the message of all the saints through the ages and their ascetic struggles and efforts. We could also say the message of those who would rather die than lie about who God is and who Jesus Christ is. We could also say the message of a simple Vespers service. We could also say the message of a rule of prayer in my life and the use of icons. We can say all of those things, any of the aspects of any of the ways that the Christian life is manifested in any of its adherents could be said to be foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, they're all the power of God. Brothers and sisters, wherever you may be in your walk spiritually, wherever you may find yourself in this life, this terminal life, this all too short life when we really come down to it, wherever you find yourself, strive with all your might to take these things seriously, to take them to heart, to hear the apostle every week when he speaks to us, because many of his words mirror or echo the kind of sentiment that we hear or will hear from him come Friday evening. Because for me, I do have to ask myself, is the message of the cross foolishness to me, who am perishing? And sometimes when I ask that question honestly, the evidence when I look, when I scrutinize, when I look with some real ruthless honesty, it scares me. Because I don't know that I could say that no, I stand with those who are being saved, the cross, and all the things of the church being the power of God. And if we're going to pay attention to these things, it begins and behooves us right off the bat to take some action, to do something, when we look and see that no, my big time investment is in this world. My goodness, is it in this world. I don't think there's one of us who acknowledged and were honest enough not to raise their hand that you did not know when you woke up this morning that this was the birthday of the Theotokos. If that's the case, think of it when it's like when you miss your mother's or your wife's or your child's birthday and how aghast some people would be, maybe not even them if they're kind and forgiving, but if you told your best friend or an acquaintance even, well, you know, my mother's or my child's or my spouse's birthday just passed and I missed it. Wouldn't they go, oh, so what did you do? How did you make up for that? What did you do about it? Would we say nothing? Sometimes. But when we come to these things of God, how is it that we miss that message? How is it that the message is so hard for us to get? Well, that's the big mystery right there. That's our struggle as human beings. That's where it all begins. It doesn't begin with trying to learn things by reading a book here or there, or by hearing a sermon now and again, or by attending church, maybe even infrequently going to confession and communion. Because those things are the end results. Those will be the things produced by our zeal and our recognition of our need for God's mercy and forgiveness, because we just don't care. But when we can notice that, then everything begins to open up. And the joy that we hear expressed in the songs and the teachings of the saints become ours, however small. Because that little tiny smallness of celebration that can begin to grow in me as a seed is real and true and alive and light and life itself. Whereas all the other remarkable things that may be filling up my time and space are all dying. So what would I rather have? The seed, the small tiny kernel that is truly real and ready to grow and spring into eternity? Or all the great stuff that I pay attention to in this world that is quickly becoming nothing. Vanity. Grasping at wind. Well, I at least know the answer to that question. I don't know that I will have the strength and energy for myself to take the kind of action I would like to think I could. But first comes the acknowledgement. First comes the recognition of the dismal situation I find myself in. If you've reached that point, good. If you haven't yet, fine. If you're well along the path of your spirituality, wonderful. There is no improper or inappropriate or ghastly or lost place to be in any of this. Wherever we find ourselves is the place where God approaches us with the message of the cross, with the message of the resurrection, with the message of his ascension, with the message of Holy Pentecost, with all those things. So let us pray that as we begin and continue to move through our lives, that this message of the cross and of all the holy things God gives us, all the really real things that God gives us, let us pray that we strive to at least take note of where we stand in regard to them, so that we may take some action, so that we may grow in Christ, and so that he may grow in us. Amen.